Naked Puts, Covered Calls, and Income Investing with market analyst Brian Perry on this episode of Unlock Your Wealth Today, your life fully invested. Welcome to Unlock Your Wealth Today, your life fully invested. I'm your purveyor of prosperity and host, Heather Wagenhals, and on today's episode, I'm making success simple by sharing income investing secrets. The basics of income investing is simple when you know the right person to go to and who to get your information from, and that's why I'm bringing on market analyst and investment income champion. Yes, that is Brian Perry. He is part of our featured experts from our relationship with Eagle Financial Publications. And I'm super excited to have him on today's show because we're going to learn all about the world of income investing and how you can get started real simple just when you understand the basics. Welcome to the show, Brian. It's great to have you on Unlock Your Wealth Today.
Thanks very much, Heather. It's great to be with you.
I'm excited because we haven't done income trading as a topic. And for my investors that have now started to accumulate, you know, some assets and they're going from a saver to an investor, we hear about all the different tiers of investing. How is income investing different from, say, traditional stock market investing?
Well, that's true. And you have a whole generation of people that have done a pretty good job saving, but the idea now of having to live off those assets in your nest egg without outliving those assets has become a real dilemma for a lot of people. So we have to not only just look for, you know, the longevity of our assets, but also staying ahead of the rate of inflation, the cost of living, and the tax man. So in this low interest rate environment, it's become a major challenge for millions of people in terms of how do they, you know, not have to move into a double wide somewhere, you know, in the middle of a remote place in America in order to, you know, manage their income and pay their bills and be able to do the things they want to do when they retire. So that's been my quest, is to formulate strategies that work for people so that they can stay where they're at and still enjoy their golden years.
Well, and if you think about it, since, you know, 9/11 happened and then they wanted to stimulate the economy, interest rates have been so low for so long. I mean, a couple of decades almost now. And you used to think, oh, I'll just get treasuries and I'll be able to retire just fine. I'll have income. But it almost had negative returns if you think about the cost of inflation and just the pure cost of money. You know, for lenders, that how do you make a negative rate of return? So I'm excited about income investing because we really have to figure out a way to accelerate what our portfolio does. So what are some of the things that we need to be looking for that is different than traditional throw my money in a mutual fund or a 401k and kind of forget about it and let it do its thing?
Well, you know, this is really what's key, because there are asset classes that and strategies which generate immediate income. And, you know, with the market, especially this year, has been a difficult year for growth investors entirely. So the way I go about it is trying to find investments where there's a lot of pass-through income, things that are really outside the box and very unconventional. We're not talking about CDs and traditional corporate bonds and things of low generating dividend stocks. I'm looking for different asset classes and also using option strategies as well to generate anywhere between 8 to 10% in annual income for people. And that's really, you know, that really separates me, I think, and my strategies from the great number of income producing type managers, as well as asset classes and funds and that kind of thing out there. So it makes for it's a challenging you know, quest to try to generate that kind of income, but it can be done. And I think this is really where it takes a little bit of work on my end, but that's what I bring to my advisory services, that I do all the heavy lifting and people just have to follow what I do. And in general, it's been a very strong model throughout this economic cycle in which to people can generate an income stream that satisfies, as opposed to one where they're constantly wondering, how am I going to get it done in terms of, you know, drawing down on my assets in order to just make my living expenses. So that's really where I come in. And I've been doing this high yield asset management ever since my days at Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers back in the late 80s and early 90s. So this I've cut my teeth through several different corrections in trying to come up with certain ways to make money for people using very what I would call low turnover strategies, like in my cash machine high yield income program. And then I've also got three trading services, which are generate using option strategies to generate income for people that want to use the power of really blue chip stocks to generate income, and not just through dividends, but through selling covered calls and naked puts and things like that.
Yeah, so you brought up some interesting terminology. And, you know, back when I was a Series 7 in the early 90s, and Bear Stearns was our clearinghouse. And so I worked for Lou Lieberbaum, which was just a little firm back in the day. And I was a grinder. That's my job, was if my fingers weren't bleeding by the end of the day, I wasn't working hard enough. So when we think about how we make income for our investors, so I'm thinking, you know, a lot of people, you know, not only want to make, you know, income for the future and help build their portfolios, but I think about people that maybe, you know, maybe had kids and didn't get on the ball, and maybe their kid isn't so sharp and they're not likely to get, you know, a college scholarship, but they want to help subsidize that. You know, would this type of investing be a good tool if, say, I had, like, you know, 5 or 6 years left before my kid has to go off to college? Would I be able to generate some income and be able to create a little cash pile for that?
Well, very much so. I mean, this is where you have to, again, it's something where people have to have an objective. They got to live within their means, for sure. But in trying to, if you got your kids to move back into the house after college, they couldn't find a job, and there's, you know, you're still, or from in my standpoint, it was taking care of my parents in long-term care. A lot of people in our generation, Heather, they're not prepared for the long-term, you know, care situation. And then that can be a financial, you know, breaker, you know, for a lot of family budgets. So that's become an issue. And I run into that with some of the trade shows and other types of venues that I attend, in terms of what are the big challenging things today. It's not just college, because you can get loans for that and grants, but it's really taking care of other family members that may have, you know, whether it's rehabilitation issues, it's long-term healthcare issues, it's just senior living issues, and trying to, you know, and trying to be benevolent to your kids and grandkids if they really need to help with buying a house and things like that. So it is important to be able to have something that you hope doesn't, you know, you hope that your account grows in a growth account, but having an income generating set of strategies that is, you know, constantly keeping your money at work, because money never sleeps. It's going somewhere. And a lot of it now with pension funds, their number is really 7% a year. That's what they have to make in order to meet their obligations, typically, like at CalPERS or any of the big, state funds out there. So using that as a benchmark, they're getting most of those returns from capital gains and not dividends. I'm trying to do the pretty much the inverse here, where I'm getting the lion's share of my total return from income. And I think this is really where people really appreciate that, because they're getting their money come in every month through the form of dividends, distributions, and call premium and put premium and things like that. So you get paid right away instead of hoping that the year turns out pretty well. And we're already seeing that, you know, the market's already round-tripped its gains for 2018, and it's going to be, we're having a really tough time of the market digesting what the future holds. And because, you know, there's just a lot of things we can get into about that in terms of what the macro and micro aspects of the market are. But I do know that if you're in cash-generating strategies, you're getting paid, and, you know, regardless of the market's volatility. And that's really the difference here, because it's important that people have that check come in every month, and not something that they're having to just sell stock in order to pay the bills, or to just meet whatever goals they might have. They want to take that trip around the world. They've got something that's in play that's going to keep paying those just going to keep generating monthly income. Whereas you know, a lot of people are betting that, you know, the year ends strong and they can go ahead and they can take that RMD out of their IRA and it's not going to just, you know, hammer the principal. So these are the things that really matter right now in this market. And going forward, we're in a 10-year bull market right now where, you know, Heather, it's going to be more difficult. It's going to get more narrow. People are flocking to quality. A lot of growth stocks are getting repriced. You know, there's a lot of PE multiple contraction going on right now, and it's very tough. And it's going to remain tough, I believe, because there's some larger things out there, aka China, and you know, sovereign bond issues and currency crises and emerging markets, which are going to, that doesn't go away overnight. It's going to take a while for these things to heal, and so therefore, I think more people are more excited than I've seen in a long time about, hey, can you just make me, you know, 8 to 10% a year, and most of that being cash flow? And the answer to that is affirmative.
And I think that's something that people don't understand when we talk about different, you know, asset classes or quality of assets. And you can hold an asset and it increases in value, but the value is not something that you can access unless you sell it. Otherwise, you have to get income-producing assets in order to be able to do that. And what I'd like to do with you after the break is talk about some of the different asset qualities and how we use those to create income for ourselves, because you made valid points. You know, long-term care is a significant issue. And it doesn't just break budgets. It breaks up families. If these things aren't handled and discussed up front, how do we want to, you know, handle, you know, our aging populations, and how do we handle, is mom and dad moving in with me, or are the in-laws moving in with us? And what do I do? My kids, I thought I educated my kids, but they're back. What do I do now? And people that thought they were going to be able to really enjoy themselves and retire are now taking care of two generations. Their parents and their kids as adults again. So these are questions that really need to be answered. And I'm really excited to have you on the show. You are watching Brian Perry on Unlock Your Wealth Today. We'll be right back with more after this. Welcome back to Unlock Your Wealth Today, your life fully invested. I'm having an incredible conversation here with Brian Perry, income investor. And before the break, we kind of explained the differences between income investing and regular investing. And we want to talk now strategy. So what are the different types of asset classes that you use regularly to help build income and wealth for individuals?
Okay, well, Heather, in my what I would call my flagship advisory service called Cash Machine, I actually wrote a book on this back in 1986 called the Cash Machine. And so what I do is I'm looking at asset classes, again, which have primarily what is called pass-through income, where they're taking the lion's share of whatever they make in terms of profits and net income, and they're passing that through in the form of dividends and distributions, putting less of it back into organic growth and more of it into the hands of the investor. Case in point are like real estate investment trusts. Some real estate investment trusts, most of them are, you know, vanilla apartments and things like that. They may pay 3 to 5%, which is a decent income stream, but I'm looking for something completely more outsized than that. So for instance, one of them I got is called New Residential Investment Corp. And that pays about 11% yield.
Wow.
Which is a whopping yield. Yeah, just a whopping yield. Now, what do they do, though? What's so special about them? And is that smoke and mirrors? Well, no, they're the largest non-bank holder of what are called everybody pays a mortgage service right. And within your mortgage, someone has to manage the insurance payment, the collection of the mortgage payment, the property taxes, all that gets allocated. And so those mortgage service rights are a huge pool. And so they are bought and sold by the banks. And mortgages, every mortgage that gets refinanced, for instance, that mortgage service right gets sold with the loan, the new loan. Well, the banks have been divesting themselves of these mortgage service rights through Sarbanes-Oxley. Okay, they by law, they've had to divest themselves. New Residential has come in, and now they're the largest owner of these mortgage service rights out there. And actually, when interest rates rise, there's less refinancing activity. Most people have been refinancing, you know, madly on the way down. But now that rates are starting to creep up, there's less refinancing activity. So there's less turnover in their portfolio, and they're able to raise the cost of their mortgage service right along with the interest rates. They're kind of tied to interest rates. So it's an inflation hedge at the same time. So their profits go up, their income goes up, you know, as interest rates rise and there's less turnover. So it really, they're more than making their dividend yield. And at the same time, the stock has been trading near its 52-week high, whereas a lot of real estate investment trusts in this rising rate market have been crushed. So it's really a nice counterintuitive REIT, if you will. And so that's the kind of thing I'm looking for, which takes some creativity and a lot of drilling down and due diligence to make sure that, you know, this is really, you know, a model that's going to continue to perform in the current environment they're in. And that's just one example. Master Limited Partnerships, okay, is another big one in what I do. But while the energy patch has really been under a lot of pressure lately, and a lot of those assets are very much underperformed, certain things like private equity is doing quite well. There's a lot of mergers and acquisitions out there, and there's a lot of deal making in the world. Blackstone Group is another major recommendation of mine, BX. They're the largest private equity firm in the world that trades publicly, okay, and an extremely well-managed company, and with a dividend, or it's a distribution yield, so you have to file a K-1, you know, with any master limited partnership in terms of your tax situation. But that's paying around a 7.5-8% yield. So you can be involved with Steve Schwarzman, the CEO of Blackstone, arguably one of the smartest, you know, guys in the world at doing deals, and be part of you know, the deal flow out there, the global deal flow that's happening at all levels. And again, you know, I like investing alongside very smart people as opposed to just trying to always figure it out myself. So Blackstone's a great way to be in an MLP in the financial side, because the bank stocks aren't paying squat for dividends, whether it's Citigroup or B of A or Wells or J.P. Morgan. Nope. You're getting 1-2%, maybe. There's nothing there. But in private equity, you know, it might be KKR, it might be Carlyle Group, but my favorite's Blackstone. It's the powerhouse in the sector, and that's a great way to do it. Third class is business development corporations. These companies, they're lending money to small to medium-sized businesses that are, you know, anywhere between the loans are anywhere between $1 million to $50 million. And those are private loans, and a lot of times they have equity kickers built into them or warrants on the company. If the company has an exit strategy that they want to go and go public or sell out, that you know, there's something there. And those will typically pay, and depending on the industries that they're loaning money to, I like it, you know, when they're loaning money into life sciences and high technology and light industrial and automated factory type businesses, and so they're, or medical medical instrumentation type companies. These business development companies will typically pay between, again, 8-10% a year, and therefore we get a chance to be lenders to domestic businesses that are doing quite well, because right now small business is booming, and you know, we don't have the problem of the dollar, you know, being appreciating too fast on us, you know, like a lot of foreign companies do. They've got, you know, a big headwind there with the Forex, with the dollar being strong, and since the domestic economy is cooking and we don't want to take a whole lot of international risk, being a lender to small to medium-sized businesses is a great place for investors to be, and you get paid like a champ.
Now, this is a type of a loan that would not be an SBA-insured loan. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. And companies go to the business development corporations because their turnaround is so much quicker. An SBA loan may take weeks to get, but if you're buying inventory, if you got it, and all of a sudden you got a big order, and you've got to, you know, hire a bunch of people and take down goods and build inventory quickly, the BDC route is a very popular way to go about that. And again, there's a lot of them out there. And I've got three or four of them on my list that I find to be the creme de la creme, mm-hmm. for for that particular space. Also are closed-end funds. Some of these closed-end funds are extremely well-managed, and they'll have what is a considered to be a stated management, a managed distribution, and they will be asset managers, like a Mario Gabelli, for instance, has several of these out. And they will set a certain 10% managed distribution rate. So within the fund itself, they're generating dividends, capital gains, and option income internally. And then they are each year they vote on the payout that they're going to go ahead and issue to their shareholders. And typically for someone like a Gabelli or other types of fund managers with his reputation, they'll put out a 10% rate of distribution, and that pays monthly typically. So people that are looking for a nice income stream that want to have the a variable income stream, that they want something that's more set, then I will look for those types of closed-end funds. And I like them because, unlike a mutual fund, Heather, where you've got people pouring money into the market typically at the top, the manager has to buy all the stocks and everything else to get fully invested near the top of the market. And then when you go through a correction like we saw in October, and the S&P goes down 2,600 and everybody's bailing out, then they're forced to sell, mm-hmm. And raise cash because they got to meet redemptions, right? And so that's usually yin and yang, in a big way if you're in an open-end mutual fund, whereas closed-end funds, they just trade off a net asset value. Okay, so they don't have that issue of redemptions and money flow coming pouring in and pouring out, because they trade every day, all day long on the New York Stock Exchange. And I really prefer that as opposed to trying to figure out what the fund's going to be worth at the end of the day when, you're stuck to the closing price.
Right.
So I like the liquidity of closed-end funds. And some of them, will have, I'm in one, it's an Alliance Global Income and Growth Fund, and symbol EOS, I'm sorry, that one is gives me a nice yield of around 8%, but it owns a lot of great stocks, and then they're just selling covered calls against that portfolio as well. I do that in some of my active services, but some of these closed-end funds do a very good job owning really great stocks, and they sell covered calls against that, and investors are allowed to be in a covered call portfolio without having to do the work themselves, and they're getting between 7 and 8, 9% for that covered call income, and that's nice. So that's another class of security, is the closed-end fund security. So you've got BDCs, MLPs, and even some stocks straight out. I've got one or two out there that, for instance, I'm a big fan of investing alongside Carl Icahn. The guy is just one of the best managers of finding value out there in the market. Mm-hmm. And for instance, he owns a stock called CVR Energy right now. CVI is the symbol, trades in New York Stock Exchange. They're a very strong refiner out of the Midwest, energy refiner. And right now, with oil prices, tanking, and demand for gasoline, jet fuel, diesel fuel, lubricants are all very strong. The spreads, are very good for refiners right now. They're printing money. And this is a common stock that, Icahn owns 82% of the stock. And he'll probably take it out completely, but the stock pays a 7.8% dividend yield. I mean, I know. So how many oil stocks and how many energy stocks are paying, a straight up 7.8% that are not MLPs, right? Because some people just, they're hung up on K-1 income. They don't want it. They just want 1099 income. And that's what CVI brings. And the stock is, the charts are very much intact. A lot of energy stocks have just been crushed. And their prices of their shares have been, hit hard. So looking for not just fundamental integrity, but also technical integrity with any of these stocks. I want to make sure they got a pretty chart to go along with the pretty story. And so that's CVI is one where I know that I've got a very strong investor in Carl Icahn, who's continuing to take this company under his own umbrella. And the company, beat earnings by 11 cents in the latest quarter. They're growing revenues by 20% a year. And it's my favorite energy stock at this present time. And I think people that really need that income can not only just make 8%, almost 8% of dividend income, but I think the stock's going to move from $40 where it currently trades up to $50 over the course of the next year. That is the recipe to successful investing is okay, we can make 7-8% a year, but can I also make some capital appreciation along the way and get a total return pushing toward 20% or better? Mm-hmm. That's doable in some of these investments. It's just, but again, very selective, and sometimes they're not the crowded trade, you know, like the Chevron or Exxon or something like that, or an Oxy or a BP or Royal Dutch, which mm-hmm. pay some decent dividend yields. But I'm looking for something that's a little more outside the realm of the obvious. And I think this is kind of where I'm finding some good ideas.
Well, and I think that they're really great ideas. And I think one of the biggest challenges that my viewers have, and maybe you can explain what your advisory services do, that, you know, I am whatever I do for a living each and every day. I have a family, or, you know, I'm trying to establish my career, or maybe, you know, I'm at the tail end of my career, but I do what I do every day, and then I get home, and then I have all my other obligations. Maybe I have community obligations or, you know, spiritual commitments, and I don't have time to do all of this research. Now, this sounds really exciting. I would love to make income, but how does your advisory services fill this gap of knowledge that I don't have and time that I can't commit to gaining that knowledge? Explain how an advisory service works.
Well, I started out as a stockbroker at Smith Barney in 1984. So I've been at this for, 34 years now, 35 years, something like that. Yeah. Let's do the math. It's a long time. It's more than three decades. And having been through all the different cycles, I mean, whether it's been, you know, 87, 91, 94, 2000, 9/11, 2008. Yeah. I mean, you learn there's a lot of there's a lot that goes on with each one of these cycles, and you learn how to not to make the same mistakes again and again. And at the same time, you understand what classes tend to perform well in different kinds of economic cycles. And within every class, economic class, there are also diamonds in the rough. So, you know, all REITs aren't bad in an upright market. You know, all utilities aren't bad in an upright market. There are special places that you can always find opportunity. But at the same time, experience, I think, is very important to have in this business. And there's a lot of people that jettison into this business, and they really haven't had they're not seasoned, and they don't have what I call the chops, you know, to basically come through tough times, you know, like elections that we've had, and know that and not be freaked out about what's going on around you. But if you understand the macro environment and understand, you know, the implications of why and how, you know, people, because there's two sides to every trade. Mm-hmm. Well, everybody's bailing out, someone's buying that you know, on the other side of that trade.
Absolutely.
And so got to have that horizon, that time horizon that says, okay, you know, I know this is going to work with the right, but everybody these days, not everybody, but a good portion of the investing community is very short-sighted, instant gratification, and doesn't understand that, you know, some of these things, you know, take a little bit of time to perform, but you've got to build positions, and you've got to be patient, because if you're right about the economy going forward and the sector rotation, which I'm a big student of, is going to see fund flows, because you want to follow the money and you want to be in the way of the market. That's an old saying, that's an old Wall Street saying, is you want to be in the way of the market. You don't want to be chasing it. You kind of want to be there when the tide comes in. Okay, so your boat is floating first and highest. And that's kind of where I think that comes with what I offer people, is I offer that kind of experience, both from winning and losing, and knowing all the different things that, and the machinations of why the market is what it is. The market, as we all know, is more geared toward perception than reality. And so understanding how to manage perception is really the secret sauce, mm-hmm. I think, to making money for people year in and year out. And that's really where I think that I've got a lot of experience, and I've gotten more polished at managing perception, which translates into the certain assets that I select. And really, all people need to work with me is a cup of coffee and about 10 minutes a week. I lay out all my trades. All they got to do is just put those lines in the water, and, you know, hopefully that the prices come to where they bite, and that's where performance comes in, because anybody can buy a great stock at any price, but buying it at the right price is that's the difference between a good investment and a great investment.
Well, you know, you talked about something that's really critical when it comes to investing like this, is you know, intestinal fortitude. You've got to be able to keep the vision. And what we know about behavioral economics, which is kind of where the realm that I kind of play in, is we already know to buy low and sell high, but we actually do the opposite. We wait and wait to get in, and we think about it, and we mull it over, and then we finally, we watch the market go up, okay, maybe now I'll get in, and then we have this little whoop, hiccup. And then that's when people start, oh no, I better get out, instead of maybe buying more. Cause I'm saying, you know, I don't care what way the market is going, as long as it's moving. A flat market is more of a challenge, because you can make money either way. Like you said, if somebody's selling, there's somebody on the other side buying, and there's a strategy there. And the people that have the most sound strategies are the ones that win. And I like that I can take and have a cup of coffee in 10 minutes and be able to really increase my ability to generate income both now and in the long term. And that sounds great. So it's been awesome having you on the show today, and you've really given us a great wealth of knowledge. If folks want to learn more about what you do and where to find your advisory services to start creating income for themselves, where do they go?
We go right to Brian Perry Investing, Brian with a Y, brianperryinvesting.com. And within that, underneath that URL, you'll see several different tabs. And Cash Machine, again, is my high-yield asset income generation service. And then there's also tabs for premium income, which is selling covered calls on high-yield assets. That really juices the yield up, you know, to another 5 to 6%. So we're looking to try to generate 15% or there. And then also you can look at the trading services. I have one that's just we do a quick income trader, which is selling covered calls and also selling naked puts on really great stocks. And that way you get paid right away in the option business. And then I have another service called Instant Income Trader, Heather, which is using a strategy called bull call spreads, and maybe we'll get into that on another session, in terms of how to control stocks that trade at $100, $200, $300, $400, $500 a share, which ties up a lot of capital.
It
does. But using long-term equity calls, and selling and using a straddle, if you will, a spread straddle, to generate income, and also be in great names, you know, like the Boeings of the world, and being able to control those positions for a fraction of the cost of the stock. And lastly, I have, for traders out there, I use artificial intelligence in a service called High Tech Trader. And it's only trading high tech stocks using artificial intelligence with a database with a lot of indicators that give me a 22-day window of for appreciation. And that's, some people like that, just they want to stay in pretty much the IT sector, and they specialize in that. And that's something for people that want to be in and out of big names, but quality names like Intel, Microsoft, Cisco Systems, things like that. But they want to trade those stocks, especially in a flat market, or you just, you know, it seems like gains are frittered away very quickly when you get into a volatile market. So if you can capture some short-term moves, then people are happy by doing that as well. And that's and that way you've got an umbrella of services, and hopefully something that fits people's you know, investing acumen, from the passive income investor to the short-term trader, but all of it with the intention of generating long-term gains and short-term income. And I think that that's the other way around for most investors in terms of their objectives. And that's where I think at BrianPerryInvesting.com, there's tutorials on all of these services, which is, you know, I'm a big believer in teaching and having workshops so that people can, you know what they're doing before they get in the middle of it. And they say, gosh, I know, if you don't fully understand something is really when people get scared. And so eliminating the fear is usually out of creating knowledge. And once we know why we're doing and what we're doing and how we're doing it, then the level of fortitude typically follows suit, and people are comfortable being in situations where every day is a different day in the market. You know, it could be up 300, down 300 for the Dow, but the point is, you know, do you understand why you're doing what you're doing, and do you have a good strategy in place, and are using high quality assets to get the job done?
Well, and that's two of our keys in our Keys to Riches financial philosophy. We've got knowledge is power, not knowing is powerful. And then we also have hope for the best, plan for the worst. And that's about identifying what we don't know so we can figure out what we need to learn in order to get there. It's been such a pleasure. I can't believe we've been able to cover so much in a short period of time, but you're right. We're going to have another session because our viewers really want to learn more about what you have to do. So thanks again for being a part of the show. And for those of you without a pencil, never fear. UnlockYourWealthToday.com is here where you can visit Brian's show page, get the links to all of his advisory services, and so much more. For the maestro of moolah, Michael Terry, I'm Heather Wagenhals. Now go out and unlock your wealth today.
UnlockYourWealthToday.com is produced by Heather Wagenhals and the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation. UnlockYourWealthToday.com and its affiliates are copyrighted 2018 with all rights reserved. For more information on the Keys to Riches Financial Wellness Series, please visit our website at www.unlockyourwealthtoday.com.